Readers Entertainment presents Book Lights, where we are shining the light on good books. Well, hello and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English. I am filling in for Deborah this week because I have a very special event, very special guest. As you probably guessed, since we're a little early and we're running a little longer than Deborah normally does for Book Lights. So I'm really excited about that, and I know that you will be as well. I do have the chat session open, so those of you who like to do that, to send questions, will be able to do that. But I'm going to go ahead and just launch right into this, so stay with me. Only Cooper and other cardiac surgeons live to fight on that mystic battlefield for the life of every patient. Culture shock and hospital politics threaten Cooper's chances for success. But with Holt's help, he's on track to complete his residency. Then, conflict with the drug-addicted nurse and her powerful protector get Cooper fired. His lover dumps him, and it seems that things couldn't get much worse. And they do. The druggy nurse is murdered, and Cooper is framed for the crime to want to help, but has his own secret agenda. To save his dream and his life, Cooper must unravel a mystery decades older than he is and solve a murder in the process. So that's from the thriller Dueling in Death's Backyard by our guest, Dr. Thomas J. Berger, a man who we will be talking to about hearts, hospitals, and homicides. Dr. Thomas Berger is a Faulkner Award-winning author, distinguished cardiac surgeon, adventurer, and lifetime martial artist, cardiac surgeon, and expert witness. Dr. Berger has spent much of his life in the medical field. Welcome, Tom.
Well, thank you, Sheila. If there's one thing I love more than talking about books to other people who love books, it's talking about my book to other people who might love my book. So it's truly my pleasure to be here, and thank you again for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you and I have talked, you know, extensively before the show, you know, weeks before, and, you know, I really am so glad to have you on the show. I just find you so incredibly interesting. You've had this amazing life, and, you know, you're a true Renaissance man. You know, you've done it all, it seems. You know, a cardiac surgeon, an expert witness and consultant. You've traveled the world. You're a martial artist. You know, you box. You're a successful author. What have I missed? Tell us more about yourself.
Well, I guess it started when I was about 8 years old, and my father gave me the first Tarzan book, Tarzan of the Apes by Edgar Rice Burroughs. And I, you know, I tell you, I can picture in my mind exactly the moment he gave me that book, because it really changed and enriched my life forever. I've been a voracious reader ever since, and the love of reading led to writing. My dad also was the one that taught me to box, and that led to a lifetime in training in the martial arts, and most recently, gone back to boxing for the past 3 years. So it would take too long to explain, but my father also tricked me into going to med school. So he was a very influential person in my life. In college, it was my goal to party down and have as much fun as I possibly could and still somehow manage to get into medical school, which I did, actually both. And when I was finishing medical school, I knew I wanted to be a heart surgeon. And believe it or not, the best heart surgery program in the world at that time was in Birmingham, Alabama, of all places. So that's how I ended up doing my training in Birmingham, which is the setting for my novel, Dueling in Death's Backyard. And then after my training, I practiced heart surgery in the Navy, and I started my own heart surgery program in a small town in Montana. And it was a little program, but it was tied for the lowest mortality in the nation for Medicare coronary artery bypass surgery. And after 17 years in Montana, I became an associate consulting professor of surgery at Duke and chief of all surgery at a Duke affiliated VA hospital. And problems with my vision forced me to retire from the operating room and focus on standing up for patients in the courtroom as an expert witness. And not being able to operate was, of course, a terrible tragedy. I was forced to buy a boat, give away or sell everything that wouldn't fit on it, and spend 8 years sailing around the Caribbean with my lovely redheaded wife, Red. And we both have moms in their 90s now who live in Miami, so that's why we sold the boat and are back here to be a little closer to them, for they kind of need a little help.
All right. I've always been interested in your wife too, and what that must have been like for her to kind of be on your adventures with you. I think that had to be such an interesting life, you know. Now, before we get too much further, I would like to let our listeners know that the live chat session is open, and you're welcome to comment or ask questions there. You can call in at 646-200-4071, or the toll-free number is 877-497-5906. After the live show, we post the podcast and blog to readersentertainment.com. So if you come in late or you have to leave for some reason, but you want to make sure that you got to listen to the whole interview, you get that chance to do that. Just go to readersentertainment.com tomorrow. And I know many of our listeners like to check out the website of our guests during the show. And I'm going to send you over to Facebook, and you can go to facebook.com/Dueling in Death's Backyard and find him there.
I've also got, you know, my professional expert witness website is heartofyourcase.com. And I recently got on Twitter, but I'm Twitterly declined. I just have no idea how to use it. I've got to get someone to explain that to me at some point. But I'm there.
But now you're there at...
Thomas Berger-author@TomBergerAuthor, and that's the T and the B and the A's in author are all in caps.
Okay, at Tom Berger Author. Now,
if you tweet me and you don't get anything back, please understand. It's because I don't know how.
Right. Well, and they can always hit you up on Facebook while you're still kind of learning the ropes, so to speak. So most people can easily find you on Facebook. I'd like to start with the story, just to kind of get in the meat of things so people have an idea what the story's about. You know, I'll not ask for any spoilers, but can you give us kind of a synopsis of what Dueling in Death's Backyard is about?
Sure. The protagonist is a young man named Cooper Logan. And a wrestling scholarship in a high school takes him from a troubled youth and a broken family in Boston to a surgical residency in, guess where, Birmingham, Alabama, where he fits in about as well as I did, which is kind of like a Hell's Angel at a British high tea. And Cooper struggles, as I did, with culture shock and hospital politics, and then conflict with a drug-addicted nurse gets him fired. His lover dumps him, and seems like things couldn't get any worse, as you were saying, and then they do. And she gets murdered, and Cooper's blamed for the crime. And to save his dream and his life, he has to unravel a mystery decades older than he is, and he solves a murder in the process.
So this is a it's a thriller, and there's some mystery elements to it, correct?
Yes. A medical murder mystery and a thriller.
All right. So let's go ahead and let's start with Cooper. Is he you? I mean, do you see yourself in your character? And if so, what parts of Cooper most reflect you?
Well, Cooper is about 90% me. We both went to Tufts College and Tufts Medical School. We both love redheads, and both of us suck at hospital politics. But I had two loving parents, and I was an okay wrestler. But Cooper came from a broken home and won the wrestling scholarship. Now, Cooper trained in heart surgery with Dr. Kirkwood, who is really Dr. Kirkland, who was my mentor and who is the true father of cardiac surgery. Cooper and I were both obsessed with becoming heart surgeons because it's very special. It's the only medical specialty where every single patient, his heart is stopped and basically brought that close to death. His heart's not beating, his body temperature's cooled down. You might even say he's in death's backyard. So, which is the idea that of the title. You take each patient into death's backyard, the heart is fixed, and then you take them by the hand and lead the patient back to the land of the living. But first you got to duel with death for the right to do that. The main difference between Cooper and me is that he's a fictional character, and I'm pretty sure most of the time that I'm real.
Now, in the book, we're introduced to several characters, and they work at the hospital in the South. There are some definite issues of prejudice that happen sort of behind the scenes as hospital staff and administration treat patients or make decisions. Is this something that really happens in a hospital?
Well, I'm not sure that really even in the 70s, which is when the book takes place, there was really much more racial prejudice in the South than the North. Certainly, it never would affect patient care, at least not that I ever saw. But what was different back then, although I don't think so much today, was more racist language. It's just the way people were brought up to talk a certain way that was acceptable to them, that was kind of a shock if you came there from New Jersey and Boston, as I did. And in the book, I really wanted to reflect the reality of that time and that place, both in the language and in the character of the people. You know, it's easy to make a stereotypical cardboard Southern racist, and that's not what I saw down there, and I didn't want to do that. I really wanted to be about the people the way they were, which was and is mostly, you know, just really good folks. The few bad apples as you'll find in any group, but
right.
Cooper and I were both a little shocked by the language until we got to know the people. And at this point, I actually consider myself a Yankee by birth, but a rebel by choice. And I love the South, the people of the South.
I love that. Yankee by birth and rebel by choice. Yeah, that's something for a T-shirt, I'll tell you.
I have to confess. It was a bumper. I saw it on a bumper sticker, and I loved it, and I've been using it ever since. This really is how I feel.
Well, if it fits, right. Now, Cooper's a bit of a fish out of water in this hospital. Like you were saying, you're from the Boston area, New Jersey area, and you go to the South, and he kind of has that problem. Why was it important to place him in such an environment of conflict?
Well, you know, I think you've got to have conflict in any novel or story, or the reader is just going to fall asleep. You know, the late Michael Palmer, a very successful medical mystery writer, once told me that every book that sells really has one plot. It's amazing. If you think about this and apply it to any book that you want that's a successful, popular book, there's only one plot. And the essence of the plot is conflict. You have a protagonist who has a problem, some kind of conflict that the protagonist is in. And he keeps trying to get out of the problem. And the more he tries to get out of it, the worse he gets. And then finally, it reaches a point where it seems like there's no way he can possibly resolve the conflict and survive. And then he does. And I'll tell you, if you think about it, every successful thriller you've ever read has this basic plot, and I will always be indebted to Michael Palmer for pointing that out to me.
Yeah, I actually knew Michael and his son. I knew both of them and still know his son fairly well through Thriller Fest. I've been a member of International Thriller Writers for a long time, And I just could not say enough good things about Michael Palmer. He was just an amazing person, and I love that I get to see his son every year. Michael and his son used to do this gig at Thriller Fest where they would sing a song right before the awards ceremony, and it was always funny. They were you could tell how close they were. So, yeah, just Michael Palmer's just amazing even beyond the grave.
Great guy, now, great writer, and good teacher too.
Absolutely. Looking at the book blurb, you know, the description on Amazon and other sites, you know, it's apparent that you're highlighting your profession as a cardiac surgeon. I mean, that's, you know, not everybody gets to be a cardiac surgeon, so that's definitely, you know, something special. How does having your main character be a cardiac surgeon add to the plot?
Well, you know, Cooper and I both chose heart surgery for the same reason, and we wanted to be able to do something where we had to do skillful, demanding work without losing our cool and with the Grim Reaper's icy breath on the back of our necks. You know, I felt like if I had a profession like that, and Cooper feels the same way, where you're working really in death's backyard, that's where you go to work, it's never going to get boring. And it never did. And it also teaches you about, you know, grace under pressure. When Cooper finds himself on the wrong end of a .357 Magnum wielded by his arch enemy, who happens to be stark barking insane at the time, he's able to stay calm and think and function effectively to get out of it because he's used to working with life or death in the balance. In the OR, it's his patient's life at stake, and in the gunfight, it's Cooper's life at stake, but Cooper's surprised to find how little difference that makes. You know, I might just add, in talking about heart surgery, that although it's the ultimate form of surgery, all surgical specialties are very different in the level of responsibility from non-surgical medical specialties. As my mentor, Dr. Kirkland, explained, treating a patient medically is kind of like seeing someone drowning and you swim out and you try to save them. Now, treating a patient surgically is more like throwing the patient off a bridge into the water, then running to shore and then swimming out to try and save them. It's just a big difference in the level of responsibility because a surgeon has to intentionally put every patient's life at risk in the OR before we can even begin to try and save it. We surgical residents call the medical guys fleas because they gathered around dying bodies taking blood samples. You know, it's a little very different type of personality that goes into the medical or the surgical field.
Well, I think I find that very interesting that, you know, you're talking about Cooper and the fact that, you know, he's so used to facing death and, you know, just having to look death in the face with every single patient that when he has to look death in the face for his own situation, he's able to remain calm and take those skills and apply it in a way that allows him to take care of himself. And I guess I hadn't thought about it that way. I find that really intriguing. I think that's very interesting that, you know, that you highlighted that about the character.
Well, now, you know, it's a key part. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm interested in the martial arts too, and always have been, aside from the fact that my dad introduced me to it. It's just because, it's a matter of training. If you're trained, just like if you're trained well to do surgery, then no matter how tense the situation gets, if you got a hissing bleed or squirting blood in your face and, you know, death is imminent, your training is what you fall back on that makes you function effectively and not lose it. And it's the same thing with fighting, or whether it's sword fighting. I mean, I've studied, you know, everything from gun to sword to stick fighting. And if your training is right, then when the situation gets tense, you just do what you're trained to do. If you're not trained, then you kind of can fall apart.
Right. No, that totally makes sense. Now, the book's been out for a while now. What are some responses that you're getting from readers? What are they liking about the story?
Well, for one thing, when everyone listening to this show right afterwards goes to Amazon.com, selects books, and types in the title Dueling in Beth's Yard to buy a copy, which I know they're all going to do, they'll see that, that Dueling has had, I think now it's about 56 rave reviews, which they can read and where people talk about what they like about the book. But what I hear a lot myself is something that kind of surprised me, actually. Everyone seems to love the character Tiny. Tiny is a giant, violent thug who completely hairless, with a head the size and shape of a basketball and swastika tattoos on his hands. He's a career criminal. He uses racist language all the time, but he loves literature and can recite poetry by memory. Now, I love Tiny. I love the character, in spite of the swastikas, even though I am Jewish. But, you know, and I know people are listening saying, well, how could you love someone like this character? It doesn't sound like someone you'd love. But read Dueling, and you'll understand. I'll bet you love him, too.
Yeah, there's you have a lot of really interesting characters, and I love that they're not cardboard characters. All of them are, I call them onion characters because they're layered. And that's to me, that was part of what I enjoyed most about the book. Yeah, it's a good story. Yeah, you know, you want to figure out who's done what. Oh, I cannot stand that nurse. You're really good at making me hate that nurse. Oh, my God. I mean, that's good. I mean, that's what you wanted me to do. But all of the characters are thought-out characters, and that really carried through with what they call your author's voice. You know, that you are able to develop those, even those secondary characters or those minor characters. I thought that was brilliantly done.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Now, do you have any thoughts of making this a series or doing another novel with this same character?
Well, you know, after the Oscar award-winning movie version and the Emmy award-winning TV series and the Tony award-winning Broadway play, yeah, maybe, why not? You know, I you can't help thinking about it, you know, about who would play the different people in the movie. And, you know, Woody Harrelson would be the perfect Dr. McDuff. I mean, he is so good at looking at someone who is just crazy, you know, just batshit crazy, but somehow holding it together. He would be perfect for McDuff. And I was thinking Matthew McConaughey might get the role of Cooper, but he's got to stop doing those annoying car commercials or he can forget it. It's, you know, they're all, I can't stand them.
I'm with you on that. So tell me, who are your favorite authors? Like, name at least three and tell us why you like them.
Well, when it comes to historic fiction, I love Bernard Cornwell and Wilbur Smith. You know, Bernard Cornwell, he can just make a battle scene, just make you feel like you're right on the front lines. And Wilbur Smith is a fantastic author, too, I think. I love Robert B. Parker for detective stories. And Daniel Silva and his heroic Mossad agent, Gabriel Allon. Gabriel Allon, you talk about an onion character. I mean, is a character who's an assassin and yet is so deep and has so many nuances. It's not like what you normally think of as an assassin. And then, of course, I love Lee Child, you know, with his original hero, Jack Reacher, mm-hmm. and the best bar fights in all of literature, bar none,
yeah.
no pun intended. But, you know, don't, if you haven't read any of the Reacher novels, any of the people that are listening, don't judge it by that Reacher movie. The movie was terrible. And as a result, Tom Cruise will not be able to play Cooper Logan. I've decided that.
Oh, that's harsh.
Well, you know, I know he's going to be very upset about this. But,
right.
You know, he is, you could put Tom Cruise in your pocket, and Jack Reacher is supposed to be 6'5", 240, and it's an essential part of his character that he's this big guy that's like a force of nature. And so I don't know why they chose Tom Cruise to play him.
Now tell me, why write a thriller? Why not, I don't know, literary fiction or a medical book?
Well, I actually have written, a number of scientific papers, and I also wrote a chapter in a book about medical malpractice work and expert witness place in the medical malpractice litigation. And, you know, I like to think really when you say literary fiction that Dueling just in parts of it, not all of it, but parts of it, I think really, really hit that sweet spot between literary fiction and popular fiction. It's fast moving and pulse pounding, but also it's, you know, thoughts. I've been around for a while and I have some ideas about different things, and I've tried to put some of those original thoughts and commentary about the human condition in there. You know, for example, Cooper is telling a fellow resident about how he took a baseball bat to some bullies when he was a kid. And he's nervous that the friend is going to be put off by this. But the friend tells Cooper that his daddy told him that if a fellow opens the door to violence, he ain't got nothing to say if violence comes back through that door and carries an ass kicking with it. So, that was a particular resident that I was thinking of when I said that. He was from out in the country, and he told me the way he ended up in medicine. He had never been in Birmingham before or any big town, and he and his dad got in the truck and they drove into town and they just drove around asking anybody that they saw, "Hey, where's the college at?" So I met a lot of fascinating people in the course of my residency, people that I never would have met anything like them in New Jersey or Boston.
So tell me something. What's next for you?
Well, I think the first thing that I really should do is assure professional boxers in the cruiserweight division and MMA guys that are light heavyweights that I'm not going to turn pro, because I've heard that they're losing sleep. They're worried that they're going to have to fight me. And, you know, it wouldn't be right to ask, you know, youngsters like them to fight a fully grown, mature man. You know, Sheila, they could be hurt and I wouldn't be able to. So they can relax. I'm not going to turn pro. And, you know, other than that, I don't really do a lot of thinking about the past or the future. I mean, you can't change the past, and nobody knows what's coming in the future. So all we really have is the now anyway. So might as well just make the most of that. Like I'm making the most of enjoying this conversation with you right now, and that's the way I try to do it.
No, it's a great answer. You know, we've only got a couple of minutes, but this is the question that is just, I've got to ask you. I mean, like I said, we've had lots of conversations. You're such an interesting person, and you've done so many things with your life. I have to ask you, what is your wife like?
Well, my wife is amazing, okay? You know, first of all, she's sort of the quintessential redhead, you know. And the thing about her, she loves adventure. Just as much as I do. And, you know, when I first talked to her about saying, well, you know, I'm thinking about maybe selling the house and everything that won't fit on a boat and just getting on the boat and setting sail. And, you know, now not a lot of girls would go for that, but she did great. That sounds great. And I'll tell you, cruising together is, they say, you know, it'll make a marriage or break it. And in our case, of course, it made it. And, you know, we had our lives in each other's hands more times than I can think of. So, you know, and you're spending a lot of time, just the two of you together. So she's really a perfect wife for me. I feel very, very blessed in having her.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight, Tom.
Well, it's been my pleasure, Sheila. Thank you so much for having me. I've had a really good time, and it's been a pleasure, not just tonight, but just meeting you and getting to know you in the time that we've had. And thanks again for having me on the show.
Thank you. And I want to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. Don't forget, you can find us at readersentertainment.com if you missed any part of the podcast or you just want to go revisit it. Stop by readersentertainment.com. I'm Sheila English, your host, and happy reading, everybody.
Okay.